Rock historian Ed Ward says we tend to think of the blues singers from the Mississippi Delta as dark, driven men in the tradition of Robert Johnson. But Mississippi John Hurt was the exception, a gentle, happy person. Ed says that's why Hurt's music struck a chord with the folk revivalists in the early 60s, and why his recordings are still so well-loved.
I met Mississippi John Hurt during intermission at a show he gave at Oberlin College in 1965, and he must have liked me. "Don't tell nobody I did this," he said, pouring me a shot of whiskey from a bottle he produced from his jacket. "I know you're not of age, but I don't like to drink alone," he added, with the twinkle in his eye that endeared him to nearly everyone who saw him perform. "I've kept my word till now, but seeing as how I'm of age, and March 3rd was either the 100th or 101st anniversary of John Hurt's birth, I figure it's okay." In many ways, Mississippi John Hurt's story began very typically. He was born in Carroll County, Mississippi, and in 1928, a talent scout for OK Records heard him and sent him to Memphis to cut two sides.
Frankie was a good girl, everybody knows. She paid $100 for having one suit of clothes. He's a man, and he done her wrong.
Frankie was the old Frankie and Johnny, or in this case, Frankie and Albert story. And OK was caught off guard. They'd never expected a version of such a well-known story to sell as well as this did. But they probably also never reckoned with the power of that intricate chiming guitar line. In December of 1928, they brought him back twice, and he recorded 10 more songs, 9 of which were eventually issued, including Candyman Blues, his sly double entendre signature song.
Your ladies all gather round, that good sweet candy man's in town. It's the candy man, it's the candy man. He got the candy just 9 feet long. He sells his fast a hog and chew his cone. It's the candy man, it's the candy man.
These records never duplicated Frankie's success, and anyway, the Depression hit the record business hard, so records aimed at rural blacks weren't a high priority. But when the folk revival came along in the early 60s, Mississippi John Hurt's records were prized by guitar pickers. How did he do that, they all wondered. And whatever happened to him, others asked. Tom Hoskins, a Washington, D.C. folky, was listening to a tape of one of Hurt's rarest records one afternoon when he got a clue.
New York this morning, just about half past 9. At New York this morning, just about half past 9. Thought of my mom and album, couldn't hardly keep from crying. Avalon, my hometown, always on my mind. Avalon, my hometown, always on my mind. Pretty mamas in Avalon want me there all the time.
Avalon's my hometown, always on my mind. Trouble was, there wasn't any Avalon on the map, but research showed there had been a hamlet by that name between Grenada and Greenwood in the late 19th century. So with his friend Mike Stewart, Hoskins headed to Mississippi in 1963. In Sunset, they stopped at a store with a number of old black men sitting on the porch and asked if anyone had ever heard of Mississippi John Hurt. "Sure," one of the men said, "about a mile down that road, third mailbox up the hill, can't miss it." They pulled into a farm, and a tractor came up, driven by a tiny old man who was as surprised as they were. They made some primitive recordings at Hurt's farm and discovered that his repertoire included hymns and lots of pre-blues rags and songs, like Richland Woman Blues.
Give me red lipstick,
and a bright poppy root, a shingle bob haircut and a shot of good booze. Hurry down, sweet daddy, come blowin' your horn. If you come too late, sweet mama will be gone.
He might have been 71 or 72 years old, but he could still play. Once he got used to performing for the new audiences, he became an immense hit, and his storytelling and Yoda-like appearance warmed thousands over the next couple of years as he toured, playing the music he thought nobody would ever hear again.
My Creole Bill, I love her well. My darling baby, my Creole Bill, my Creole Bill, I love her well. My darling baby, my Creole Bill, when the stars shine.
Lots of us tried to play his simpler pieces like My Creole Bell, and some of the luckier ones got tips directly from the master himself. John Hurt died on November 2, 1966, and left behind a legacy of recordings played exquisitely by a virtuoso, capturing a music that existed before the blues became the dominant African-American musical form. Thanks, John, and happy birthday, however old you are.
Ed Ward writes for the Austin Chronicle. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.